This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
Welcome into Cody and Gold here on 96.5 The Fan. You're home for the Chiefs. You're home for the Royals. Cody Tapp with you for the next 4 hours. Drew Nixon with you for the next 4 hours. Joshua Briscoe, our Chiefs contributor, will join me in studio as my co-host from noon until 2. So, Drew, we got to do 2 hours, just the two of us. And then Briscoe will come in and get us on to the holiday weekend. I actually kind of meant, I think you guys are going to do some version of the fan club tomorrow. Drew will be here for the show tomorrow. I kind of meant to like maybe do a second version of that today and bring in some beers, but I forgot. So unless Briscoe wants to pick up a six pack, I got nothing. I got nothing for 1 o'clock today.
I'm going to save it for tomorrow. I think Mac and I are going to be hosting the show tomorrow. Mac and I are going to have a fan club. We're going to have Kramer in for the last hour of the show as well.
Oh, so Kramer, the Raiders perspective? For those who don't know, Kramer is a Las Vegas Raiders fan, unfortunately for him. But he is a Raiders fan, so like that's fitting at least on that end. Get him in for Raiders week for your last show of the week. Makes sense. If you got any thoughts, comments, questions, 913-586-7965. We can take some calls earlier in the show if you guys want. We can get your thoughts over in the video stream at TheFan965 on YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, Facebook. You know, wherever you get your streaming platforms, we're over there as well. Plus, Ryan Fitzpatrick, the once... I'm going to thank him, actually. 11:35, okay. Ryan Fitzpatrick's going to come on the show. He once did the Chiefs a huge favor. He once won a football game late in the season that helped propel the Chiefs to home field advantage. So he deserves his proper thanks. Plus, we'll talk to him about things he sees out of the Chiefs offense, what Xavier Worthy's doing, those things and those interests before. From the 816, the first text in. Hey, can we get a quick update on the Guillotine League? I'm assuming you're asking that because I was eliminated. Last night was it for me, Drew. My team fell.
Dang.
It was between me or Alex. One of the two of us was going to go down. I needed 15 points in a PPR league from Zay Flowers, and I came up about 3 points short, 2 points short. So he wins. I lose. The Guillotine League is down to six team members.
Did Gold send you a text last night?
He did not.
Oh, okay.
He did not. He's just going to let it like just linger, I guess, you know? My team was eliminated last night. No more me and Guillotine. Man, I had the third most money. Bye weeks, man. Jamar Chase, Chase Brown, and Josh Allen were on bye. You think those are going to be popular players for the bidding this week?
You would think so.
Ah.
Whoever's got money left is Jamar Chase chasing.
You know what it is, man? You just can't, survive bye weeks all the time. You know when it happens? You just can't survive bye weeks.
Well, that in the first comment you said is, you know what? It's one less thing to worry about. It's tough. One less fantasy team.
I got two other ones. I'm in three fantasy leagues this year. I was in four, actually, because I was in charge Guillotine League, but I got knocked out
weeks ago. That's way too many.
So. Well, at least two of them are Guillotine leagues. So now I'm down to two. Now I'm down to a respectable number of regular leagues, too, one of which I have a good team and one of which I don't. We'll talk more about not fantasy football later, but football in general, as I mentioned, Josh Briscoe will join us today at noon. Nate Taylor will be on the phone with us at 12:30. We'll try to hear from Patrick Mahomes later in the show, and like I mentioned, Ryan Fitzpatrick. But I was doing a little thinking last night, and I think one of the most common questions any of us will get asked in a sports-related Thanksgiving week holiday conversation, Drew, is fairly obvious. What teams do you think can beat the Chiefs? Right? Which teams do you think can beat the Chiefs? Who are the real Super Bowl contenders? I decided I was going to decide my Super Bowl contenders on the NFC and the AFC side by one very simple metric, and you would be shocked how easy it was to diagnose the best teams in the league. Simple, it turns out, Drew, because when I give you this list, I think there's maybe one team that would give people an argument that I've decided that I'm going to take serious because of my standards. My metric for determining the teams who can win the Super Bowl this year, week 12 of the NFL season, is simple. We are two-thirds of the way through the season. Are you a top 10 offense and a top 10 defense? If you are both of those things, congratulations. I consider you a Super Bowl contender this late in the season. If you are not, kick rocks, which means last night's two teams, the Ravens and the Chargers, see you later. Ravens don't have a top 10 defense. They have the most efficient offense in the league. Can't play a lick of defense. Chargers have a top 10 defense. Do not have a top 10 offense. They're eliminated. Here are the teams. The Chiefs, who have the 10th best offense in the league and the 9th best defense. I know that probably surprises some teams on probably both ends. Defense has been slipping. They were third 2 weeks ago, or 3 weeks ago. We let up, 30 to the Bills and then let up another 27 to your bad opponent in the Carolina Panthers. That'll happen quick. The Lions, who have the first-ranked offense and the second-ranked defense. Dear God. Absolute juggernaut. Their offense is scoring 32 points a game and their defense is only giving up 16, which means on average, they are winning their football games by two full touchdowns. We can't even get the Chiefs to win a game by 10 points. They're winning on average by two full touchdowns. The Vikings, who have the 9th-ranked offense and the 5th-ranked defense. The Eagles, who rank 7th in offense and 6th in defense. The Bills, who have the 3rd-ranked offense and the 7th-ranked defense in points per game. And the Packers, who are 8th and 10th. That's it. That's your list of Super Bowl contenders, which does point out one clear thing about the AFC. It's the Chiefs and the Bills, and it's nobody else. Okay? Chiefs and the Bills and nobody else. I see that from the 6-2-0. Chiefs can't play a lick of defense either. For the last 2 weeks, you are correct. For the last month, you are correct. On the season, it's inaccurate, and I'm basing this on an aggregate. Are the Chiefs playing good defense right now? Absolutely not. Like, I'm not here to lie to you, but that's not the position they're in. So the question from the 816, so if the Chiefs slip to 11 this week on defense, do you tell them to kick rocks? Great question. Great question. Good news is for the Chiefs. They're the only team on this list who gets more leeway. And the reason why is because they have Patrick Mahomes. He's worth a spot or two.
Okay.
Come on. Are you kidding? He's worth a spot or two.
Okay.
So they can't slip to like 19th.
I was going to say.
But if they're 11th, the Chiefs get the pass.
So if they're 15, is it still?
No, 15's too far. That's too far.
Okay.
11th? No, Mahomes is worth two spots either way.
Okay.
So you can get to 12th and you're fine. You get to 13th, we start having a conversation in which I'm concerned.
I do think it is interesting when you look at the way that things have shaken out in the AFC and in the NFC. We can't tell you who's coming out of the NFC because there's multiple teams, but we can categorize it down to when it comes down to playoff time. You mentioned all of these teams have both units inside of the top 10.
Yeah.
That's what you can hang your hat on in a way when you get to the postseason is you need that combination. The Ravens, as great as they are on offense, if it comes down to them playing one of these teams, whether it be the Bills or the Chiefs, they're going to have a hard time because their defense stinks. They might be able to score, but can they stop you? And when you're going up against a team that's got a top 10 offense, it's going to be tough for them to stop. Because again, that's the thing last night is you look and you say, okay, the Ravens won the game last night. They gave up only 23 points, but it's to the Chargers. The Chargers offense has scored 27 last week against the Bengals, who stink on defense. And the Ravens, they scored 23. The Ravens stink on defense as well. So this is an offense that, as you said, Cody, is not even in the top 10.
No, it's like maybe, it's like 15th, 19th, yeah, it's something like that. It's maybe, like in the bottom half.
Maybe top 15, and they're still scoring 20-plus points on the Ravens. So, yeah, it makes you concerned if you're trying to rely on, hey, the Ravens still have a legitimate shot at this win. They probably don't when it comes down to the playoffs.
I would borderline, like, I would almost guarantee it. Like, I don't think you'd give me even money on it. But if we just said, all right, I'm going to bet a texter on the text line, $100. You can have every team in the league and I get these. Who's taking the bet?
No one should.
No one's taking the bet.
Nobody should.
Those are the Super Bowl contending teams, and we all know it. Right? Like, we all know that those are the Super Bowl contending teams. The thing that stands out to me is at least the Chiefs aren't in the NFC. There are more teams to take serious over there. Lions, Vikings, Eagles, and Packers all fall within this system of measurement as it sits right now. They all are in that range. Are some more serious than others? Sure. The Lions are first and second. The Vikings are 9th and 5th. The Packers are barely in there, right? At 8th and 10th, kind of similar to Kansas City at 9th and 10th. But I think if I had just asked you without pulling these things, Drew, give me your six best Super Bowl contenders. This is pretty close to the list. I think the exchange a lot of people would make in a national media perspective, or if I had asked just a regular fan, is they'd probably kick out the Vikings and they'd find some other team to put in there. What I'm telling you is the Vikings have consistently done both things, play offense and play defense all season long. So you better take them at least semi-serious. And before you're like, can Sam Darnold make a Super Bowl out of the NFC? I would recommend you go and look at the NFC representation at quarterback over the last 15 years. Because way more than the AFC, it's a mixed bag of weirdness. Yeah. Why don't we just look at the... let's look at the 49ers. Like, they've put Brock Purdy and Jimmy Garoppolo there. Jalen Hurts has some detractors. Maybe not this year. Certainly last year he did, right? Where does he rank amongst the top 10, 15 quarterbacks, five quarterbacks in the NFL, right? I think a lot of people probably have him 9th or 10th. Like, and I'm not saying Sam Darnold's the 10th best quarterback. He's not. But he's also not the league's worst quarterback either. And the NFC seems to put a lot of interesting player teams and quarterbacks into the conversation anyway.
So I don't think this plays into the way that the teams shake up, because there's some guys who are out of that you didn't mention who have good running backs. But if you look at the teams that you mentioned, the Chiefs, I know they only have Kareem Hunt, but they've got Isaiah Pacheco as well.
Coming eventually, yeah.
The Packers have Josh Jacobs, very effective. The Lions have David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs. The Vikings have Aaron Jones, who's found a second wind of life. Jalen Hurts has Saquon Barkley, who might very well has a case, I think, for the MVP at this rate because of what he did the other night.
Legitimate case, yeah.
But it's interesting how when you look at the units and the teams, they've also got solid, you know, tight end play. Sam Laporta, Travis Kelce, Tucker Kraft for the Packers, TJ Hockenson for the Vikings. Like, every single unit, it makes sense why these are the teams that would be Super Bowl contenders. Brian Flores is a great defensive coordinator. The Packers have a solid defensive crew. The Chiefs have Spags. You know, you run down the line of what makes the teams top 10 and top 9 in their respective units, and it makes sense because of the star power that they have on both sides of the football.
From the text line, from the 816, Jalen Watson's injury in week 5 correlates directly to Chris Jones and the rest of the D-line and their inability to get sacks. Maybe.
That's kind of what we talked about yesterday.
I will say it's less related, and we'll get to the defensive line here in a little bit. I think that matters less for Chris Jones, who doesn't have a sack in seven consecutive weeks, and I can't deny that. But I think the rest of the defensive line is more of a coverage sack unit than the rest. I just think that these are the only real Super Bowl contenders. I know that I'm supposed to include Baltimore, or maybe I'm supposed to include like Miami or something if I just factor in what they've been since Tua's comeback or whatever. But like, the truth is, these are the teams who have consistently, over the course of two-thirds of the season, been the best teams in the league. Like, I mean, what's the worst team on there? A three-loss? What do the Packers have? Three losses? Bills have two. Yes. Eagles have two. Vikings have two or three. Lions have one. Chiefs have one. I don't think it's an accident that the teams who are the best at offense and defense are the teams that have regularly done it. And the Chiefs fell just outside this range last year, I'll say. The Chiefs were like the 12th best offense in the league. And, like, I think that there is, like, somebody would say, can't you make an exception for someone who is the best at something? Let's say the Ravens. Maybe you think the Ravens have the best offense in the NFL. Can't they counteract?
No.
To a point, maybe. But that's why I said top 10, right? The 10th best defense. Everyone thinks the Chiefs defense is playing like garbage. Well, it's still top 10 defense right now. Even over the last 3 weeks, they're probably like the 15th worst or the 15th best, right? Because lots of teams give up points. But there's a limit for what you can cover. And the 2018 Chiefs taught us that, at the very least.
Well, yeah, because the question isn't, can you win a playoff game or can you get to the AFC title game?
Can you win the Super Bowl?
It's, can you win the Super Bowl? And I don't think, because what are they, bottom 10 on defense?
And points per game?
The Ravens are.
I mean, they gotta be.
Because I know yardage-wise, they are atrocious.
Can't stop the run or the pass.
In the pass in particular.
23rd.
So you look at
24.5 points per game. They're 23rd.
So you mentioned the Chiefs offense last year was 12th. They won the Super Bowl, but that's because the defense was so good. They were the best defense in the NFL. So you're talking about a second unit and a 12th unit. Yeah. This is a first unit and a 23rd unit. And as good as Lamar Jackson is, when you go up against a good defense, you need your defense to show up, and they haven't shown up at all in those sort of games. So I just think that it's a battle that's going to be too hard for them to win because of the defense and the liabilities that they have compared to if it were maybe the Chargers. The Chargers might have a better shot at it because of the defense.
Keep a game paired, close, paired thing, although that, they got torched last night.
Correct. Or maybe the Steelers, where Russell Wilson actually, you know, has a really good game and the defense is so freaking good for Pittsburgh, they find a way to keep it ugly and close. Those might be I guess the one exception to the rule, Cody, of all the teams that just thinking of them, I could see maybe the 49ers and maybe the Pittsburgh Steelers being the only exceptions to maybe they actually
could start playing a lot better though in a hurry.
Yeah, the Niners might not make it at all, period. But it, just in terms of star power, in terms of what they can do, I think the Steelers might be the only exception to the rule that you have in this.
I will say this is easily though of the, like I just mentioned, that I think it's just the Chiefs and the Bills in the AFC. I'm saying that the day after the Ravens beat the hell out of another decent team, right? The Chargers are a good NFL team. This is the one thing that absolutely floors me about Buffalo. I have now gone back every single year that Josh Allen has been the starter in. So I've gone all the way back to 2020, right? So like every year that Josh Allen is the starter for the Buffalo Bills, that entire run, Buffalo has ranked in the top 10 for offense and defense every year. How the hell have they not won more? It's just like there's something fundamentally wrong about what they're doing, and I can't put my fit. Maybe it's coaching. Maybe it's – and I'd love to say it's like it's Josh Allen in the postseason. Can't really be that, right? Because
– yeah.
It's not like he's played bad football games in the postseason. I don't know what it is, but they're like one leg short constantly, but it's also why to take them serious. Meanwhile, this Friday, the Chiefs have the Raiders on the Black Friday game on Friday. It'll be on local TV, by the way, for those who live in the Kansas City area. If not, you just watch it on Prime like the rest of society. I know yesterday I had briefly said that I was not going to predict a blowout again for the rest of the season for the Chiefs. They'll save it for the Super Bowl or something. It'd be the funniest time to blow a team out, like after not doing it the entire year. But I will make one thing very clear about the expectations for this Friday's game. Last week, my whole thing was kick their ass. They're a bad team. This is also a terrible team. Right now, the Raiders are picking second in the NFL draft. If the draft started today, they'd be the second overall pick. They stink. They're as bad as the Panthers. Maybe worse. Because at least the Panthers have a former number one overall pick in Bryce Young who can make a throw. The Raiders are starting Aiden O'Connell this weekend, according to Tom Pelissero. And I know we beat him last year. There is no excuse if you're the Chiefs in having back-to-back disappointing games against two teams that are this terrible. If you needed the wake-up call, you got it. If you needed evidence that a bad team can hang with you, you got it. Am I saying they have to beat this team by 4 touchdowns? No, not necessarily. But I am telling you that despite that, they can't let them come back in the game. If you're up 11 in the fourth quarter, just keep it 11. Do not let back-to-back disappointing performances happen against an absolutely miserable set of opponents. So behind the scenes, look, Drew, yesterday... they do these like I don't honest to God know what it'll look like, but I think NFL Films was in recording the first half hour of the show. I think they used the footage for pregame or something for the Amazon Prime broadcast. So I guess keep an eye out for 96.5 The Fan.
Yeah,
first person to send it to me can get a Cody and Gold shirt.
You're gonna be hyping up the Chiefs on Prime?
I guess. Yeah, but so like we get done recording the first 30 minutes of the show, and like right before we're going on. You know, he was like, let's look at it like this. And he's like, he had said something. He's like, you know, one thing, you know, we wouldn't hate, right? A little directorial option. You know, one thing we wouldn't hate is you talking about the Chiefs' domination over this franchise over the course of time and how one of these teams is a Super Bowl contender and the other one's a loser. He didn't say loser, but he might as well have said loser, Drew. He's like, one of these teams is heading nowhere and is a laughingstock. That was essentially the direction I was given yesterday before the show.
Everybody's anti-Raiders here as soon as they step in the city, apparently, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, come on. And I get it. Someone's going to be like, didn't Aiden O'Connell carve them up? In the first half, he kind of did. right? And I'm sorry, the game is on... is the game on Netflix this Friday?
No, it's on Prime.
Okay.
That's why Ryan Fitzpatrick is joining
the
show. Oh,
that's right. Yeah, Ryan Fitzpatrick is joining the show. The Christmas game, I believe, is on Netflix. Yes. The text line confused me.
Yes.
But so, like, I mean, he pretty much said, sort of saying, like, hey, if you don't mind slipping in a line about how this one team is lost and useless and a broken franchise with no hope, that'd be great. Like, those weren't his exact words, to be clear. But that guy might as well have said, an NFL employee might as well have said, can you make fun of this franchise? Aiden, I know they lost a game last year in which Aiden O'Connell, and I don't want to be reminded of this, completed a single pass in the second half of a football game in which they lost. It was the first time I had felt that way after a football game since Tim Tebow once beat this team in the playoffs, having completed two passes in the whole game. It's an embarrassing way to lose. I can wash last year's game away, though, because they went on to win the Super Bowl. You cannot have back-to-back bad performances against a team this bad. Like, there is a point in which you have to stop yourself from doing this stuff. Once again, by the way, the text line is commenting on your overdressed. I can't believe how many layers you're wearing.
Yeah, I thought about that. As soon as I looked at the stream, and I was like, dang, I'm wearing a hoodie today with a jacket. I got a vest on underneath. It's cold outside, all right? And I know that it's not cold in here, but I'm comfortable. I like feeling comfortable, and I'm comfortable right now, so it's okay.
Okay.
I'm not sick, I promise. I feel good.
You don't want to try to get everyone sick before the holidays.
This is like a quick
courtesy announcement. You're like hacking up a lung. I know your boss is going to think you're making it up because it's before the holidays. You're hacking up a lung today? Work from home.
Please.
Don't get everyone sick before the holiday. What good does that do? Wait, because you're a tough guy? No, just call in sick. Or work from home, put in some hours, you know, whatever. Let's do it.
Yeah, I'm not hacking up a lung, or hocking up a lung, whatever you want to call it.
That's all.
I'm not coughing, you know. I don't have a sniffle or anything like that. We're good. Knock on wood, because now that I said this over the weekend, I'm going to be feeling some type of way.
Coming up in 10 minutes, I'm going to ask you a question about this year's team versus last year's team that I need an answer on from everyone. But let's quickly talk about the Ravens-Chargers game last night, in which I think two things were abundantly clear. One, the Chargers are a year too early. They have succeeded above expectation, and I would say overperformed above what they should, because for the first time maybe in the Chargers' history, I don't know, they are actually... have a good person in charge. They have a good head coach. And it sucks. I don't like that as a Kansas City Chiefs fan. I hate to admit that a little bit. But the reason why they are a competent franchise this year is not because they have a lot of talent. It is because they are well coached. Last night, they lost because they have way less talent than the Ravens. Plain and simple. They are less talented than them across the board. They have worse wide receivers, worse running backs, currently, worse quarterback play, a worse defense. Like, and maybe not a worse defense because the Ravens, but like across the board, they are less talented than the Ravens. That's why they lost last night. But they are a competent team for the first time ever, in which they do a lot of things right because of Harbaugh. The other part is, I can't figure out the Ravens for the life of me, because on offense, it seems like you shouldn't be able to stop them. But the bad news is for the Baltimore Ravens is, their offense is at its best when Derrick Henry is at its best. And just real quick, as a reminder for the people who don't believe in the Chiefs, at least defensively, what is the one thing, Drew, that they still do great?
They are very, very good against the run. Very good.
Fantastic against the run. And so if you eliminate Derrick Henry, because last night, that's why I thought they looked great on offense. Derrick Henry was averaging 8 yards a carry. They had to stack the box to prevent that. And it opened up the world for Lamar Jackson. It made their job easy. When Derrick Henry goes, the Ravens can essentially score at will. But when they only scored 20 in the opening game of the regular season, part of the reason they were only capable of doing that is Derrick Henry didn't have a good game. He only ran for 50 yards. And as a result of that, the Chiefs limited the Ravens' offense to another point. I didn't take the Ravens any more seriously for that. All I took away from that is the Chargers are a year too early.
Well, that was why I, a couple weeks ago, said if the Ravens played the Chiefs again, the Chiefs would win by 10 points. Because the one thing that the Ravens, to your point, Cody, what you just said, what they need to have going well for them to be as successful and for that engine to go, they need Derrick Henry. the Chiefs are the one team that is so stout defensively on the line against the run, they're going to force Lamar to have to pass.
And he's been way better. Part of the NFL storyline this year. He has developed significantly as a passer.
He's in the MVP running because he has been such a good passer. But I think to beat that team, you have to be able to limit Derrick Henry, and the Chiefs are the one team that can do that very, very, very well, regardless of how good Lamar Jackson is. And we saw it, in week one. I think we would see it again if they end up playing. It's hard to, because I think you bring up a good point. It's not even about the defense. It's about the success of Derrick Henry solely being he's like the engine.
Yeah.
And if he's not performing well, the car might still look good. Like Lamar Jackson still might be able to make some flashy plays and still be able to.
Yeah, man. On the touchdown run. Oh, get out of here.
Lamar will be able to do his thing, but it's not going to be as effective of a machine when Derrick Henry's not running the ball for 5 yards a carry, 6 yards a carry, more than that.
Someone from the 816. We eliminated Henry, but Lamar did torch us for 100 yards. I'm like, you know what, though, in a funny way?
You won the game.
I know, but also, like, that means they're out of their offense this year.
Yes.
Like, under normal circumstances, that's how they functioned. It was around Lamar in the running game. That's actually not how they function this year. They are at their best when Lamar is throwing. We actually took them out of their normal game plan, and that became like a scramble drill for Lamar rather than what they have worked as so well. They like getting the ball to their tight ends. They like getting the ball to Zay Flowers. They like throwing it this year. They are much better at throwing it this year. I just felt like that didn't move the needle for me last night, other than Lamar Jackson is probably going to win the MVP, even though it probably should be Saquon. Yeah, I think so. They always give it to tight ends, man.
Not Josh Allen?
He'll win Offensive Player of the Year.
I think it's those three. I think it's Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, and then Saquon's entered his name into the chat.
I mean, it's definitely not. Let's see what the odds.
Josh Allen, he's been really, really good as well.
Right now, the favorite, in fairness, is Josh Allen because Lamar Jackson had a bad couple of weeks and Josh Allen didn't. Plus 150, depending on the book, for Josh Allen. Plus 250 for Lamar Jackson. Plus 400 for Saquon Barkley. Plus 600 for Jared Goff. They're telling you it's a four-person race with Patrick Mahomes behind them at plus 1,400.
No offense to Jared Goff. No offense to him because it's not his fault. They won a game where he had 83 passing yards.
They scored like 50 in that game. I know. It's crazy.
Not to say that he should be eliminated from it just because of that, but I think in terms of like MVP, most valuable player, they won a game where they scored 50 points when he threw for 83 yards.
I think right now it should be a three-horse race. And I think it probably realistically is Lamar, Josh Allen, and Saquon Barkley. When we come back, there's a question from this year's team. I want to compare it to last year's team, and I need an answer from you. Plus, the College Football Playoff Committee puts out their rankings tonight. They're going to blow it. Back in here on Cody and Gold. 96.5 The Fan, Cody Tapp with you, Drew Nixon with you. Joshua Briscoe will join us in the noon hour for a couple of hours. Be my co-host for a little bit of time. Till then, it's just me and you, Drew. My final day of the week. You and Mac are taking care of the show tomorrow.
That's right.
So a little after hours, but in the middle of the day.
Yeah, we're going to have the fan club as well.
Okay.
Get you ready for your Thanksgiving. Well, we might preview some of the games on, of course, the dud matchup of the Giants and Cowboys. Maybe we'll skip over that one, but
yeah. What's your favorite Thanksgiving side dish?
That we're going to discuss as well.
Okay.
I'm sure.
That's usually on the docket for a Thanksgiving week show.
There's a number of them that I like. It's hard for me to pick. There is a favorite, but you got to have the green bean casserole is very good. Mashed potatoes. Love me some mashed potatoes. Mac and cheese. Corn pudding. I don't know if you've had corn pudding before.
No, don't know what that is.
Oh, you got to make it.
I got to make it?
Yeah, you got to make it. Not like this year, but...
I probably had something like it. I've had something like this. I just don't think it's called that.
Like corn casserole, I guess.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what it was called.
If you want to call it corn casserole, fine, but it's very, very good. My wife, ironically, knocked it. She was like, she'd make fun of me if I said corn pudding. She's like, No.
You guys are from the same part of the country.
I know, but she would like, you're not corn pudding. What is this? She had it. Don't knock it till you tried it. Perfect example. She loves it.
Coming up in 8 minutes, we're going to get to the College Football Playoff Committee, who will put out their rankings later tonight, and how I'm terrified they're going to blow it in favor of the big boys, just like every other sport who favors the big programs instead of the ones who actually earned it. But I have a simple question, because I think for the teams or for the people who are like, I'm worried this year will not end in a Super Bowl for the Chiefs, which is a reasonable concern. That is certainly not what I'm saying. But I have a very simple question, because the answer on the other side is obvious. If I asked you, was last year's team defense better or worse between this year's? You'd be like, okay, last year's defense was way better. It never even struggled. It was the number one defense pretty much the entire year in the NFL. It was at least a top five defense the entire time. Hell, it carried this team to 11 wins last year. Last year's defense was better. Right now, pre-Pacheco, pre-Hollywood Brown, because those are still unknowns. Hell, pre-Humphreys, for that matter, at left tackle, because we don't know when he'll get on the football field. Fitchy saw, they didn't see a jersey in a locker for him from a photo last night. Is this year's offense better or worse than last year's offense? 913-586-7965. I thought long and hard about this because I was trying to decide. Because I thought, well, they had Rashee Rice last year, which was a hard thing to shake for a minute. Because Rashee Rice and what he ended up being by the end of the year was something pretty remarkable, right? He got a long way in his rookie debut. This time of year, 12 weeks into the season, he was like a 450-yard receiver. So, like, I can count on improvement from Xavier Worthy, or I can count on those things to do it. I think this is a better offense. I think they are more in line with who they are, even without Isaiah Pacheco. The yards per game are down. The points per game are comparable, a little bit worse last year. Mahomes' interception rate is up a little bit from last year. His touchdown rate is down a little bit from last year. Completion percentage up, yardage is up. So, like, some of the things that you would be in there just from, like, his perspective are there. What I boiled this down to, Kelce's a wash. They're worse at running back because Kareem Hunt versus Pacheco. But I think that Kareem Hunt has done 90% of the job, and they'll get that remaining 10% when Pacheco returns. So I'll call that mostly a wash. At wide receiver, even though I think Rashee Rice at this age, at this time, at his peak, especially because of what we saw at the beginning part of the season, man, would they be better with him, right? DeAndre Hopkins, he's there. He's like at that level. Maybe he's a little behind what Rashee Rice would have turned into this year, which seemed like it was barreling towards an 1,100, 1,200, 1,300-yard receiver, 1,300-yard receiver maybe. But I still think DeAndre Hopkins fit that mold. And honestly, they've got a more defined role with McColl, who they didn't have for half of the season last year. Xavier Worthy is a good option, at least for the offense in some capacity. And the offensive line is the same. But I just think they're more in line with who they are this year than last year. I don't think there's a considerable difference, but I do think this year's offense is better. What's important, I think, the rest of the way is, in order to make up the gapping for how far they've fallen defensively, which is essentially the best offense or best defense in the league to the 10th best defenses, I need them by the end of this season to be like the fifth or sixth best offense. And I don't think they can do that without Isaiah Pacheco and without Hollywood Brown.
Yeah, I think I agree with you that they're better. I don't know if we get the, in terms of making up the differences, the potential for that comes in the playoffs or comes here in the next couple weeks, few weeks, whatever the case is, when Isaiah Pacheco and Hollywood Brown do in fact come back.
That'll be the best test. Point.
Yeah, because even now, they are better because obviously you don't have the drop problem. As crazy as it sounds, the offense is better than they were last year.
They also have a much higher ceiling, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I think that's where, you know, the difference of, hey, the defense is backtracking a little bit off of last year. They've looked shaky. Can the offense make up that? The potential of adding Isaiah Pacheco back into the lineup, Hollywood Brown being back into the lineup, well, actually in the lineup period, in a big-time game, in a game that matters, that's where the potential can be hit. Because you mentioned, even without them, they've been a top 10 offense. Mm-hmm. Think of what it's like when you add a bona fide number
two. They didn't have DeAndre Hopkins for a portion of that.
They add a bona fide number two wide receiver in Hollywood Brown, a bona fide guy. It's not like maybe he can do. Hollywood Brown is a bona fide number two. Isaiah Pacheco is your bona fide number one running back. He's one of the better running backs in the league, in my opinion, one of the most underrated ones. The potential for your offense to get to that point where they're making up the margins is there. I mean, If they say they didn't have Hollywood Brown back and they didn't have Isaiah Pacheco back.
Yeah.
What is your confidence level of them winning the Super Bowl?
I don't know. I mean, the same as, I mean, it's definitely worse without both of those players, right? Obviously, I'm given, but I, you know, like it's the NFL. So 5, 7, 8%, 9, 10% chance better. Like it's not crazy, but it's 5 to 10% range, probably better.
So that's
him.
The margin that you think in terms of you being really comfortable.
Yeah.
You need like a 5 to 6% upkick in terms of production, the way the offense looks, the long ball, the way the production is, if the offense can hum a little bit more but with those, like, guys, then it gives you more confidence.
Like, so for the text line, someone said they're better, right? They said having Xavier Worthy and D-Hop is better than having Rice alone, which dead serious was all they had. Come on, man.
Yeah.
That was it.
Yeah.
That was the whole moniker. Like, that was the entire thing there for a while.
It was
just them and no one else. Someone says it feels like it's the same because the tackle play feels the same to me. They're being sacked more this year than last year. But I'll say, in a lot of, and this is like nerdy, and I know sometimes you don't get it, in a lot of advanced metrics, they are far better at moving the ball this year. And so, like, they're better at getting first downs. And so, like, that to me is a sign of an offense that is better at functioning. Like, they do a better job moving the ball consistently. They're only scoring, like, I think it's like three points more per game this year. And that's not in a course of a season, that's not a small margin. Now, is it still 5 points worse than they were scoring at their peak powers? Yeah, it is. I'm not saying, is this offense better in 2019? I don't want to even have that argument. But I think if you look at the complexities of the offense, they are very well balanced. The offensive line is not playing well enough, but I would encourage you to watch the offensive line play in the rest of the league and understand that the Chiefs are not alone in this problem. Hey, Drew, how's Cincinnati's offensive line? Pretty bad, right? Like how
they haven't been great.
How was the Chargers' offensive line last night? Not great, right? I mean, there are plenty of bad offensive lines in the NFL, but they're no different than last year. They have a good rushing attack. They're good at getting yards. They're good at getting first downs. They're good at getting in the red zone. Lately, they've been better in the red zone. They are a better red zone scoring team from a touchdown percentage perspective than they were last year. All of those things point to me to a team that knows more what they're doing. And truth is, if I'm comparing side by side, neither of these teams could get the ball deep. So if, like, my complaint this year is they've got no deep passing game because they're like 26th in the NFL in explosive plays, well, yeah, tale as old as time, no offense. That's exactly as last year's offense was. And Kansas City right now ranks 16th in the NFL in red zone scoring percentage. They're getting the ball in the end zone on a touchdown about 58% of the time. Last year was only 51% of the time. And that was with a pretty horrid start for the offense this year, too.
I was going to say, still not where you want it to be, but it is better. I think because in your point to the red zone, also the third down stuff. Like, I think those are the two things where they've been the cream of the crop in terms of third down conversion.
Third down conversion rate in third and long.
Yeah, they have been unbelievably good.
Yeah, you know that Patrick Mahomes, this is a great stat from Ben Baldwin, who does some analytics-based stuff. He put the stat, technically based on value, like efficiency, Patrick Mahomes running has added more expected points to the Chiefs offense than Lamar Jackson's running has added for Baltimore's. Like, I want you to think, like, I'm dead serious. His value in running the ball for his team has added more expected points than Lamar Jackson's. Because when Mahomes runs, he needs to. And when he runs, it's on third down. It's not designed. It's not on purpose.
Extending drives.
It's just when the pass isn't open and they need 8 yards, Mahomes gets it. And at some point in his career, maybe they'll send a spy and they'll really, really, really regret it because then Mahomes will probably burn him in the passing game. But, I mean, that's it. And someone talking about the offense, this is a good point from the 816. What about Noah Gray's elevation in play? He is definitely a better player as well as he was last year. Someone also said, this year, at least I'm comfortable they can convert a third and short. Do you remember how long last year we spent about this team's inability to get 6 inches on third and fourth down? They are better at that.
Yeah.
Like, are better than that. If we asked as a team, we probably get a different answer from the Texan. If I say this year's team, are they better or worse? I think most of you are going to say worse. I ask about the offense because I think that can be inevitably what covers the gap between the two. I think they've been better than last year's offense. And I'm saying that not knowing whether, like, how much better they'll be, depending on when Isaiah Pacheco and Hollywood Brown get back. The text line asked real quick. They said, when should we expect Hollywood Brown back? Last I heard, the target date would be around the 21st of December for Hollywood Brown. As a reminder, his practice window hasn't even been opened yet. So, like, it's not even like the 21-day to return plan yet. They haven't even opened his practice window.
That is what you're saying.
I think it's going to be like a month. So you're saying, I could be off here, but I think it's going to be like a month.
An early Christmas gift could be like December 1st. The window's been open, by the way.
Well, they play on Christmas Day, you know? Wouldn't that be a nice coming out party for Hollywood Brown? Return to the offense. Last year, Christmas was ruined by a wretched performance by the Chiefs on Christmas Day. Maybe this year can be the opposite. That's all.
I keep on forgetting that game was on Christmas, too.
Yeah, it was. On top of it was on Christmas. Yeah. My family was all sitting around at some point like, ugh. Well, I guess let's get to some other stuff because this isn't going to work. College football playoff rankings come out this weekend. Coming up in about 10 minutes, we'll get to the schedule that's getting ready to come around. And this Friday is kind of the beginning of that. But it was a massive upset weekend for the college football playoff committee, which makes this the most interesting college football playoff ranking yet. One, we're closer to the end of the season, right?
Final week of the season coming up this weekend in terms of the terms of regular season.
And Alabama lost again. Indiana, if Indiana had played it closer, we're probably having a different conversation, but they got run by Ohio State. I think they're going to blow this. Here's two things that I think
should... You think they're going to kick him out?
Here are two things I think should happen. Here are two things I think should happen as part of the College Football Playoff Committee's final rankings that I think might be right tonight, decidedly won't be right by the time it's done. The first mistake they're going to make is giving Arizona State a projected home football game. I know Brett Yormark did what he's supposed to do, and he spoke publicly and said, there's no standing in league history that supports the Big 12 champion shouldn't have one of these four byes. Dude, it's the first year. What do you mean there's no history to support? They don't deserve a... Boise State has been the better team. Boise State should get a home game. I don't think they're going to get it. I think Arizona State's going to get it. I think the projections might show tonight Arizona State's the leader to get it. And unless another upset happens in the Big 12 over the last couple weeks, which is certainly possible, I think they're going to blow it. The second thing I'm fearful of is by the time this thing all shakes out, we think it's going to make sense. And they're going to have Indiana in the college football play. And they're going to screw it up, dude. They're going to put in Alabama. They're going to put one of these other loser three-loss SEC teams.
You don't trust them.
Don't deserve it. Because the history of this sport suggests they will choose the name on the jersey instead of this. And we pretend like it's not because of TV deals, but it is.
I think it's very valid. I do think your point about... I think they will keep Boise State ahead, actually, of Arizona State.
In the rankings, okay.
But I will say this. Are we sure that Boise State is actually as good as... Are we sure that... I know that Genty is a great story, but are we sure that they're actually the best Group of Five team? I wish that they would do this. They obviously don't this year.
Two Group of Fives?
Well, no. I want to have two Group of Fives play for that spot.
Give me a play-in.
Give me a play-in because it's not hard on it's not that hard on the committee. You take the two highest ranked Group of Five teams who are conference champions. They play each other for the spot. So it'd be Boise State in Tulane or Boise State in Army, who would play for their Group of Five spot. I think that would be fun, but neither here nor there. Because Arizona State was 21. Do they jump Boise State, who has looked shaky? Maybe they do. Arizona State also tried to throw that game away late. I don't know if you watched that, Cody, on Saturday. That was a horrendous...
I saw.
Arizona State didn't deserve to win the game. They did, though. But I think I think that because of what you mentioned, though, Alabama lost to Oklahoma, who Missouri, by the way, beat with Drew Pine at quarterback. Let me remind you, Alabama scored 3 points in that game. They didn't even get a touchdown. Jim Leroux stunk. I think the way that they lost, I think they are out. I think Ole Miss also losing to Florida. Florida's a much better... Florida and KU are the exact same. They are on a hot streak of beating ranked teams, even though they're not in the realm of those teams in terms of ranking, et cetera. Florida is now bowl eligible. KU can be this weekend. But I think IU's locked in now. I think you're going to get your wish of having Indiana in.
They should be
the playoff. Because one, I think they should be also... With the name brands, like, you can't... I know that Indiana have one loss, and it's to Ohio State, and they've blown everybody else out. But Alabama losing to Oklahoma the way they did it. Also, Texas. This is the ultimate argument, Cody, that you have if anybody wants to come at you about, well, Indiana doesn't have a good resume. You know who Texas's best wins are this year?
No one. They beat nobody.
Texas's best wins this year are Vanderbilt and Arkansas.
But they're in SEC.
I understand.
So we just give them this little like layup of whatever, and they've done it with two different quarterbacks and all this other nonsense. But here's the thing with Texas, and I'll give them credit for. I would like college football to care more about wins and losses. I still think them leaving out Florida State last year is an atrocity. A Power 5 team at the time, now Power 4, a Power 4 team had an undefeated season. They deserved, Drew. They had earned the right to play in the college football playoff. I don't care if it was to get their teeth in by 60. They had earned the right for that spot. Indiana, this might be the only time they make the college football playoff in 20 years. They have earned the right to be in it. They have lost a singular game to the team currently ranked second in the country.
I understand.
And they play in the second best college football conference. And I still think they're going to screw it up. I'm convinced they'll screw it up. I just never trust a college football playoff committee. They can't help themselves when it comes to the SEC.
It's because they need to figure out what they prioritize the most. Like if they go into, and maybe this is why, you know what, we just factor it all into a computer. Pick the 12.
I want to go back to the BCS. I told you.
Put all the information into the computer. Here's strength. The schedule. Here's all of it. It's all balanced. Mm-hmm. I do think, though, the eye test, and they don't even factor it in, because I think we are better off doing the computer because they don't factor in the eye test, Cody, where if you look at who Penn State has played, if you look at the resume that Texas has and you watch them play, they're not worthy of being in the spots that they're in, either of them.
It's like they're dinging Indiana more because they ended up playing a weak Big Ten schedule.
It's
like
not their fault.
Because that happens sometimes, right?
Correct.
Sometimes you play a weak Ten, but nobody's mentioning that Texas has played a weak SEC schedule.
Yeah.
Does that not? Like, they play in the SEC, but they haven't played the SEC. Does that make sense?
And then winning against Michigan doesn't matter.
They didn't play any of the teams in the SEC that you would expect to make, right?
Yes.
They didn't play Tennessee. They didn't play Georgia. They didn't play...
They beat
their best win is Vanderbilt. Yeah,
they beat Michigan, and that's not one of their best wins. That's all you need to know about Michigan. Like, it was supposed to be a good win. It's not. It's not a high-caliber win. I mean, maybe you include Michigan in there, but Michigan's 5-5 right now, or whatever the heck they are. 5-6. I don't remember. But their resume is not where, if you say this team is one of the best, plus, also, this is the thing, Cody, that's really interesting. Now, you know who just had an MRI the other day? Quinn Ewers. If Quinn Ewers is out for the season, hang with me.
Check him out of the thing.
Hang with me. Last year, what happened to Florida State? They played games. This is the thing. If Quinn Ewers is out and they started Arch Manning, they'll have won maybe two games with Arch Manning as a starting quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not the starter. Florida State won games with Tate Rodemaker as the starter, and they were kicked out.
Now they're judging now, like they're like, but we know what a good backup quarterback is. I'm like, it's nonsense.
Yeah, correct.
The rules should be the same. Kick Texas's ass out. They got a backup. See you later, Texas. Don't give them a home game. They're not good enough. They're like the 12th best team now.
It would be very funny to see them. It would be very funny to see them get in as like the, if it would be ranked as the same. If they won with Arch Manning as quarterback.
Here's the argument. Here's the argument. Is that, like, the rules should be the same. If they have their backup quarterback, they are now deemed worse.
I agree.
Than the team with their starting quarterback. So they're not the third best team in the country or whatever the hell they're ranked now. They're the 10th best, 11th best team in the country. And you don't get the home site playoff game. You got to go on the road like everyone else. But we're not going to do that because his name is Arch Manning and it's Texas. And that's always the issue I have, is that they just seem to make up the rules as they go. And this whole time we spent time complaining about the BCS, it was legitimately the better system. It evaluated you based on your accolades, what you accomplished, not what you are now. And I just point out the same thing that would have existed. If that had existed in the NFL, we would cry foul. If the Chiefs, right, who have lost a ton of talent on offense, got a worse seed in the NFL playoffs because they're hurt,
yeah,
makes no sense. This is why it's better that at 12, then the Florida State would have been in the college football playoff last year, right?
Correct.
They wouldn't have been eliminated, had a chance to prove themselves. But by the same metric, well, then Texas should be lower in the college football playoff rankings. But, of course, we know they won't
be. And then one game that Texas played, they got their butt kicked by Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
And Georgia's also been a little bit this year at times. I wonder, Cody, if there were four teams real quick before we go to break, somebody, I think it was Ari Wasserman at On3, pose this question. If it was the 14 playoff, are we sure that the SEC wouldn't get left out? If there were four teams in the college football playoff, are we sure that
the SEC? I know,
but if you wanted to pick the four best teams in the country, Oregon and Ohio State are in there, obviously, because I think they're far and above better than anybody else.
Yeah.
But Texas is at three. I mean, who do you put in? Because if Texas lose in the SEC title game again to Georgia, Georgia probably gets in.
Yep.
Maybe, but...
Yeah, probably. And then they just like throw in Arizona State because of the Big 12 champion. They're easy to predict when it's four.
Yeah, right.
When we come back, the Chiefs defense has not been good at all, specifically in the pass rush. But why is it this bad? I'm going to explain that next.